Let's start it up. Yes, here we are. Welcome back. Another episode of Tactical Knockout, the hardcore casual MMA podcast. I'm dressed casually, but I'm the hardcore fan. Jordan is dressed hardcorely, but he's the casual fan, self-proclaimed casual fan. He's checking his notes. We are going to talk about UFC 297 today. It was a pretty good pay-per-view to start off the year. I mean, you know, maybe a couple snoozers in there, but overall, I think it was a pretty solid card, all things considered. Let's get right into it, Jordan. What did you think of that main event?
I know it was contentious. You know, some people liked the decision. Some people didn't like the decision. What I liked is that they promised to go to war, and they absolutely delivered on that one. I was probably a little bit more sided toward Strickland, just because I tend to like the champion in those close ones. But I say that now, and you'll hear me in like two or three episodes saying like, "Oh man, that challenger should have got the split decision." So that should be taken with a pinch of salt. I will say, with some retrospect, as there became time distance from that fight, I started seeing exactly why DDP got the nod in that one. He utilized the wrestling, not as much as I thought he would, but enough to, I think, help him get that, you know, that razor's edge decision in his way. We were talking a little bit before the record about how Strickland just kind of hid behind his jab most of the times, and then, like you were saying, you know, he kind of was able to win the rounds when he put the pressure on him. You know, and I don't think DDP put too much extra pressure on him, but you could tell he was the one moving forward a little bit more. And I can see from a judge's point how you're like, okay, he's winning. He's putting the pressure on. He's creating the action. So, you know, again, you know, a contentious decision, but one I don't think I would be upset at either way. I can say I would love to see a rematch, though I do not think that it will benefit Sean Strickland very much. I think in a rematch, Duplessis would get a much more dominant victory, if not a finish.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fight was super close. It was a good fight. I really enjoyed it. I'm always a fan of the back and forth five round fights, you know, where one guy wins the first round, next guy wins the second round, and then there's like a toss up round in the middle there somewhere. That's kind of how I felt this fight went down. I thought it was pretty clear that Strickland won the first round. I thought Duplessis won the second round for sure. Third round is the round where I felt like it could go either way, but I personally scored it for Duplessis. And then fourth round for Duplessis, easy, his best round of the fight. And then fifth round for Strickland, his best round of the fight. So it was a pretty back and forth fight, all things considered, regardless of the decision or anything like that. It was a pretty good showcase for both fighters. I do feel like Duplessis got the nod. He did get the nod. I feel like he won, in my opinion, because he, like you said, mixed in more than just the boxing. Strickland had good boxing in this fight. He always has good boxing in his fights. But he kind of fell into the trap that he had with the Cannoneer fight, where he didn't do much more than jab and move. And, you know, the rounds that he did do more than just jab, the first and the fifth, were rounds that he won. So, you know, if you're Sean Strickland, if you're Sean Strickland's coach, I feel like you've got to be super frustrated with that performance, because when he opened up, he won the round. And the rounds that he lost were because he simply didn't open up. In the first round, he was landing that front kick to the body, and he had great success with it. I called that. We talked about it in the preview, but Drickus is not a big fan of kicks to the body, and Strickland was able to get a lot of success with that kick in the first round and then just forgot about it. I don't know what happened. His corner called for it after the second round. You can hear him go back to the corner, and they're like, "Hey, man, don't forget about your teep. Use your teep." And maybe he throws it once in the next round, but then forgets about it again. I think if he would have stayed consistent on that tool, he would have had a lot more success in those middle rounds. And then in the fifth round, the other round that I thought he won because he started throwing the overhand right. Instead of just jabbing, he threw a right hand behind it. Crazy, right? Isn't that such a wild concept? But, you know, I feel bad for the guy in the sense that, you know, this is another fight that he loses where it could have went either way. But I really feel like he has nobody to blame but himself for that. Duplessis, on the hand, did exactly what he was supposed to do. He pressured the entire fight. He kept Sean on the back foot, which was, you know, huge for him. He landed big power punches. He landed a very nice step-up high kick from the lead leg. I didn't know that Du Plessis had that kind of flexibility, considering his build, considering the way he fights. So it was really impressive to see him throw. I think he even turned it into a question mark kick at one point, which was pretty sweet. And then, of course, the takedowns. Although he didn't do much with the takedowns, like he didn't stay on top super long, it was takedowns in a round that could have went either way. And in my opinion, that makes it go to the guy that gets a takedown. You know, I think it's important that you utilize all aspects of mixed martial arts, not just the boxing, not just the jab. And Du Plessis was the guy who did that by throwing in the kicks to the body, the kicks to the head, and throwing in those takedowns as well. Both guys had success with their hands, but Du Plessis had more tools to use. So, yeah, I feel like he deserved that victory. He got the second, third, fourth round, in my opinion, the third round being closest. But again, he landed the bigger shots, and I believe he landed a takedown at the end of that round, too. So, yeah, I like that. I'm excited to see a new champion. You know, we said when Strickland won the belt that we would be betting against him, whoever he fought. It turned out that way, you know, paid out. You know, I think, and I still think, Strickland could have a lot of success if he just stayed a little bit more aggressive in the fight. But that being said, you know, he had a pretty solid performance, all things considered. Du Plessis was just too much that night. So we'll see how it happens. I would love to see next. I'd like to see Du Plessis versus Cannoneer, just to see two super athletic power strikers go at it. I think that'd be an awesome matchup. I think it's more likely that they do Israel Adesanya versus Du Plessis, but, you know, I really feel like it's kind of bullshit. I think Cannoneer is deserving of that title shot. He's coming on a 2-fight win streak over Strickland, and then most recently over Marvin Vettori, where he looked amazing. So I'd like to see that fight personally. What do you think, Jordan?
I wouldn't mind seeing Cannoneer fight for the belt. You know, that'd be a very fan-friendly fight as well. I think if Izzy will probably be the deciding factor in that one. If he decides to come back early, they're definitely going to make that fight. I think it would be probably smarter to have a fight in between that. Du Plessis should win that Cannoneer fight. That's probably who I would be siding with. Once again, if it gets made, we'll talk about it when we get there. But I would be pretty okay with thinking about that. Honestly, I hadn't even put that thought in my head, but that would be a solid first title fight for Trickus Du Plessis. Yeah. I could see them running it back with Sean Strickland as well. I could see that being an option that's on the table. So it's the very, very interesting storylines to go off of this. Yeah. Drakus Du Plessis win.
Yeah, there's a few different routes they can go. They could go the Strickland rematch. They could do the Cannoneer fight, which I feel is most deserving, or they could do Adesanya. They've even talked about Khamzat Chimaev fighting for the middleweight belt, which I feel like is ridiculous.
They're gonna do Adesanya.
You think they'll do Adesanya?
They'll do Adesanya.
Yeah, Hassan, the producer of the podcast, saying that they'll do Adesanya. I mean, it really depends if Adesanya is going to, you know, want to come back, because he's the one that talked about wanting to take a couple years off, you know? Yeah, I mean, he might do it. And if they make that fight happen, I think that's the fight that will sell the most.
Player one.
I think they'll probably do that Adesanya fight. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they do Khamzat. Maybe they feed to the Saudi crowd and do Khamzat versus Du Plessis in Saudi Arabia when they do that pay-per-view. I hope not, because it'd be ridiculous for Khamzat to get a title fight off of zero ranked wins and zero ranked fights at middleweight. And, you know, even more so because he can't fight anywhere except for Saudi Arabia or Abu Dhabi or anything like that. So, he doesn't have his visa. His visa got declined this last time, so he can't fight in the States, at least for the time being.
Just send Bo Nickel over there after him.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be sick. I mean, maybe this time next year, Bo Nickel will be ready for that title shot. But I mean, I really do like his chances against any of these guys. But yeah, man, solid win for Du Plessis. Hard fought victory, and there's a lot of interesting routes to go with the middleweight title right now. I'd love to see Cannoneer get it on merit, but you know the UFC, it's probably not going to happen. We'll see what happens. So,
how about my girl Raquel Bennington fulfilling her redemption arc and getting her title fight? I called it. I told you.
That's the a dream good
pick. Was alive. Yeah, man. And I am, for one, am pretty I don't, maybe it's just the, you know, I'm seeing the negative ones more than I'm seeing the positive, but there's so many people that are like, oh, this is a terrible fight, this is in shambles. Like, it was a pretty good fight. Like, I don't know. I was pretty upset at them, at seeing the internet spoil a really good story.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the fight. I thought it was pretty dominant victory for Raquel Pennington. You know, I think she could have probably put her foot on the gas a little bit. In that like third, fourth round, it looked like Mara Bronisova was completely exhausted, and I really feel like Raquel probably could have got a late TKO if she just, you know, stick to her boxing. But she did fall into that clinch a few times. It's kind of been a tale in her career that she loves to go to that clinch against the fence, even when she's having great success on the feet. Maybe it's just a way to mitigate her cardio, but it really seems like she doesn't have much of a problem with her cardio. So I don't know, maybe it's a mental thing, but either way, she was very dominant in that fight from the first round out. Mara Bonasova looked good in that first round, but she completely blew her load. This is going to sound stupid, but I think she put too much energy in the walkout and the introduction with Bruce Buffer. Like, she was pretty fucking hyped right there. It looks like she had an adrenaline dump after the first round and was just completely exhausted. I'm surprised that the fight didn't get finished because she was so tired in that third and fourth round.
God, if Bruce Buffer had a nickel for every time he gave a woman an adrenaline dump like that.
I mean, how do you think he affords those suits, you know?
I don't know, man. He's got all the ladies, bro.
Yeah, that being said, I mean, I like Mara Bonasova. I wanted her to get the belt because I feel like she's going to be, she would have been like, she has more potential. But at this point in time, Raquel Pennington, the craftiness, the toughness, it was just too much for her. The cardio, the pressure. She's a proven fighter, you know? So I don't know why I didn't pick her in the lead up. Honestly, obviously hindsight's 20/20, but, looking back on it, yeah, like Raquel has been in there with some great fighters. Mara Bonasova hasn't, and, she's never really been one to come back from, adversity. So, Raquel has made a career off of that. So, you know, solid one for Raquel Pennington. And again, like, it's awesome to see a fighter who's been in the UFC for so long, who's had like kind of like a middling career, turn a corner and get a lot of success. Now she's on like a 6-fight win streak. So that's pretty awesome. I think that's, if not, I mean, it has to be the longest win streak at women's bantamweight right now. I can't think of anybody who even comes close. They're probably going to do Pennington versus Pena for the belt now. It's a fight that they've tried to make in the past, but Pena's fallen out. So I'm excited for that matchup, and I really do feel like Raquel Pennington will get it done in that fight. I'm not a huge fan of Juliana Pena, but I don't think her style really plays well into Raquel Pennington's style. I think both girls are kind of tough, scrappy brawlers, and Raquel just has a little bit cleaner technique, a little bit better cardio, and a little bit more power in her hands. So I think she'll be able to get it done against Pena. But we'll see. You know, you never know. It is kind of sweet to have a different title fight at bantamweight instead of, you know, Amanda Nunes just running it at the top, minus 1,000 favorite in every fight. So it's pretty exciting to see where the division's going to go. I don't know if we mentioned it on the preview pod, but this fight was the first time since 2016 that the bantamweight title was up for grabs, women's bantamweight title was up for grabs, and it didn't have Amanda Nunes or Ronda Rousey in the title fight. And it was the first time since 2017 that the middleweight title was up for grabs and it didn't have Adesanya or Whitaker in the fight. So pretty exciting to see those two divisions get moving along. Maybe not the best divisions in the sport, probably on the lower five of the divisions in the sport right now, but still pretty exciting divisions and divisions where I feel like the belt can really change hands pretty regularly. So,
not to like tangent off on, but sometimes that's what it takes. Like, you know, maybe we're looking at it from this aspect of it, like, oh, it's not very good right now, but we see some of these names in the next 2 or 3 years that are just starting to get hot, or somebody that's like, that, like, you know, 8, 9 are on that cusp. We're like, oh, you know, they were there the whole time. It was just, you know, the division was
the opportunity.
It needed a little bit of opportunity to freshen up, kind of get these different matchups in there. So it's exciting, like you said, to see these weight classes open up. Not so much, I hope the belts don't bounce around too long. I hope somebody comes in and can give a nice, like, good, you know, year and a half reign or something like that. But it's nice. It's cool. It's exciting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'd be, I think out of the two new champions, I think Raquel is much more likely to hold on to the belt for a bit, just because Duplessis kind of has a shark tank underneath him right now. And, you know, to middleweight's credit, there are some really interesting prospects there right now. You know, like we talked about Bo Nickel, Ikram Alaskarov, you got Joe Piper there too. So there's some young blood in the division, a much needed burst of young blood. And we'll probably be seeing a few of those guys fighting for the title in the next, you know, 2-3 years.
Nickel versus Chimaev.
Yeah, I think that's a good fight to make for sure. Hasn't saying they should do Nickel versus Chimaev. But, you know, Chimaev, he wants a title fight coming off of a 10-day notice Usman if rolling off
give,
the couch.
If you give Bo Nickel and Khamzat a main event of a UFC, there doesn't need to be a title on the line. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Like, yeah, that'd be pretty dope.
Yeah, they'll take that. Like, Bo Nickel will take Saudi Arabia money to go fight Khamzat. You know what I'm saying?
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's right there. He's like, I'll take that. That's a payday.
I'd like to see Strickland versus Khamzat, honestly. I think if they make that fight, I think that'd be awesome. It'd be a good test for Khamzat to fight an actual middleweight contender. And I think stylistically, Strickland can give him a lot of problems. If he can defend that early takedown and jab his face off, if it's five rounds, I really do favor Strickland in that matchup. So I'd like to see that fight. I think that'd be cool. But yeah, let's move down the rest of the card. There were some other interesting matchups on here. Chris Curtis fought Marc-Andre Barriault in that fight right before.
You're about to glaze over the fact that Neil Magny got a KO for real. You're going to put death taxes and Neil Magny on the decision got put to rest, dude. How about that? Neil Magny got a KO.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that fight happened before the Curtis fight. That's why I brought it up. But yeah, man, just a monumental case of fumbling the bag by Mike Malott. Like, I couldn't believe my eyes when I was watching it because he looked so good in those first two rounds. He was fighting how you're supposed to fight Neil Magny. He was using the leg kicks. He was using the takedowns. He was using that top pressure and just, you know, beating the piss out of him. I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a 10-8 round in there or two, you know? And then third round comes around and Malott is completely exhausted. And Neil Magny, like we always say, turns it up as the fight goes on and gets better as the fight goes on. And he was able to really just beat the piss out of him in the last frame of the third round. Got to the mount position. Malott was not able to get him off, and he just unloaded ground and pound like we've actually never seen from Neil Magny. I think that's his first finish, and dear God, I can't even think of the last time he got a finish. Let me see.
He probably should have brought that Neil Magny out against Ian Garry.
Yeah, imagine.
He
got a finish not long ago. He submitted Daniel Rodriguez. I forgot about that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about just straight up knocking somebody out. I can, yeah, if you tell me Neil Magny, like, yeah, if you tell me that Neil Magny choked somebody out, I'm like, okay, I can see that. But if you tell me that he put somebody out, then I'm like, what?
Yeah, 2018 was the last time. So it's been almost 6 years since Magny got a finish by strikes.
Man, speaking of fumbling Canadians, my round robin for the Canadians did not work out very well.
No, it did not.
All.
I'm sorry, man.
Canada, I love you, but. Dude, get it together.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, on the preview pod, we were like, oh, Canada,
oh,
let's
God.
Go.
Oh,
now,
yeah,
it's more like,
now it's like,
oh,
my God,
Canada.
Yeah.
What are we doing? It was tough, man. They had some good fights, too. There's some close ones, really close ones. This next fight being one of those close ones was, I mean, obviously Mike Malott was winning that whole fight until he got finished. But that Marc-Andre Barriault, Chris Curtis fight, I felt like could have went either way. I personally felt like Curtis won. But Burial had a great showing for himself. Another case of a fighter not being able to really get out of that first gear. Curtis could have had a lot more success in that fight if he turned it up a bit, was a little bit more aggressive. But, you know, he did enough to win, so good on him. And then there was another really close fight on that main card with Movsar Evloev versus Arnold Allen. I personally felt like Arnold Allen won. I thought he won the first round and the third round. But they gave the decision to Movsar Evloev. He landed a couple takedowns at the end of the rounds, which might have swayed the judges. But yeah, I felt like Allen did enough to get that victory, and it kind of hurt to see him lose because it was such a hard-fought decision, you know? But Evloev looked good. He did what he was supposed to do. His striking looked very improved. Allen was southpaw the whole fight, which took away that jab for Evloev, a jab that's given him, you know, a lot of success in his fights in the past. He didn't have it as readily available, and I think that kind of translated to a much closer fight than it needed to be for Evloev. But I really did feel like Allen landed the better shots in the first and third, and I think he deserved that decision, but it is what it is. Neither guy's stock goes down from this fight. I think it was a good showcase for both of the fighters, and I'm excited to see Evloev get a top five fight now. You know, I mean, that was a top five fight, but you know, to fight like a Yair Rodriguez or, you know, the loser of Volkanovski versus Topuria. I think there's a lot of exciting things for Vlahov to do. And for Allen, you know, stay the course. Don't get too discouraged. I think if he fights somebody like Giga Chikadze or Josh Emmett, I could see him smoking those guys. So I'd like to see that fight made for him. But yeah, pretty exciting fight there in the featherweight division.
A lot of split decisions on this card. You had said that, and I'm just now noticing it. One, two, three, four.
Yeah, yeah. A few split decisions, a few really close fights, man. And not a lot of finishes. I mean, the prelims started off really well, the early prelims with three finishes in a row. And then Julian Robertson got it done, too. But then we didn't see anything until Neil Magny and nothing else after that. But that being said, you know, I don't think it was terrible. I think there was some good fights in there.
Yeah, I'm definitely not mad at it. I mean, you know, we're still talking, you know, how people are still talking about DDP and Sean Strickland, you know, who won that one. So obviously it's a lot better than one of them just going out and putting it out. So, you know, I like it. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. Going to that prelim card, there were some pretty interesting fights there and close fights and a couple fights I thought like the decision went the wrong way. Garrett Armfield versus Brad Katona. Garrett Armfield had a great showing here. His boxing looked very solid those first two rounds. Katona, not a finisher by any stretch of the imagination. So he kind of was fighting a losing battle there. He went for takedowns at the end of the round to try to steal them, but it didn't work out the way it did for Movsar Evloev. That third round he won, but the first and second he lost. So he lost that decision to Garrett Armfield. I felt like that decision was fair. The next one, Sean Woodson versus Charles Jourdain. This was a frustrating fight to watch as a Charles Jourdain fan, because I felt like, you know, he was having some pretty solid success when he opened up, but he seemed deterred from the length and the reach of Woodson to open up earlier than he should have. That being said, I kind of felt like he did enough to win that fight, too. I felt like he won the second and third round, but, you know, I'm not a judge. I also had money on Jourdain, so I think I was a little bit biased, but I also don't like Woodson. So I was really rooting for Jourdain in this one. But that being said, kind of a setback for him. It sucks. We'll see what happens, though. I don't think Woodson has much of a future at featherweight. I think he does have a pretty high ceiling, or a pretty low ceiling, rather. Jourdain is, you know, one of those fighters who wins one, lose one, win one, lose one. So I'm sure he'll come back in a big way in his next fight. And then what I feel like should have been fight of the night, or at least, you know, like honored in some respect, was Ramon Tavares versus Sergey Skiddy, or Sidé, rather. This was a fight between two Contender Series fighters. They fought on the Contender Series, and the referee stopped it way too early. The guy got dropped, and then he jumped in and stopped the fight while he was recovering. They kind of robbed us from the war that we saw this last Saturday. It was a great fight, super back and forth. On one side, you had the volume and the pressure and the combinations on Sergey's side. On the other side, on Tavares' side, you had some great power and some great boxing. So it was a very interesting fight. I felt like Sergey did enough. He was able to land great combinations and win long stretches of the fight. There was points that he got rocked in the first and second round. I think in the third round, he might have got clipped at least once, too. But I felt like he did enough to win those rounds either way. I think he lost the first round, I think it was. But then second and third, I felt like he got it done. Either way, it was a really great fight and definitely one to watch if you haven't seen it. I highly recommend it. That was on the prelims. I'm just now realizing that Tavares did miss weight. So maybe that's why they weren't eligible for fight of the night. Especially considering how good the main event was. I don't blame them for giving that fight of the night, but you know, it would have been nice to see these lesser known guys get some shine. And then Julian Robertson had a great performance. She looked like a complete stud against Pollyanna Viana. We expected her to have some success against Viana because, you know, Robertson has been such a dominant force on the ground, and that's where Viana's had some trouble. But I didn't think it would look like this. I thought Viana would at least be able to land some good punches on the feet. But it really looked like, you know, anytime she started to open up, Robertson would find her hips and get her down on the ground. And from there, it was just, you know, she was in a world of trouble. And Viana's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. It's not like she was lost on the ground. But Robertson is just, like, leagues ahead, you know. She's a black belt who taps out black belts. So She was able to really just dominate her, and even though she wasn't able to get a finish by submission like she normally does, she was able to get into a position that Viana couldn't get out of and just beat her up until the ref was forced to stop it. So solid victory there for Robertson. She continues her finishing ways.
She got performance of the night, too.
Yeah, she got the performance of the night. I think they gave it to her and...
Jasmine.
Yeah, Jasmine Jazubikius, which... That was an awesome fight. Very
Look at the girl. Look at the females getting the performance of the night bonus.
Yeah, I mean, it's about damn time. I mean, they were the only Canadians on the fight card that won, you know? All the Canadian male fighters lost. All the female Canadian fighters won. All
right, so yeah, I got to redact my... Canadian men, get it together, dude.
Step your shit up.
Yeah, Canadian women, keep on doing you.
Yeah, they know what they're doing over there.
Yeah, I got to learn from them.
Yeah. but yeah, so before we get into that Jasmine Jazubikius fight, Sam Patterson submitted Johan Lennice. Johan Lennice, I really had faith in him, you know? He has good power in his hands. Patterson has been susceptible to the power shots before. I really thought Johan was going to be able to get it done. But when Patterson got the takedown, Johan put himself in bad positions, man. Like, there was a point where he was fighting off the choke, and then he just turns right into it. It was like, he was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm tired of fighting, let's go home. And Patterson was very much happy to take that choke and got that finish in the first round. I don't know where they go from here. They're probably going to cut Johan Lennice, or at least give him one more fight. And if he loses that, he'll get cut. But
well, he wants to go home anyway. So
yeah, I mean, clearly. I mean, that's what it looked like to me. It is what it is, though, you know. But yeah, that Jasmine Jazubikius fight, probably my favorite fight on the night to watch. I hate Priscilla Cachoeira. She's a dirty fighter. She's been in trouble before for eye gouging, for biting, putting her toes in the fence. In one fight, she tried to rip the girl's shirt off when she was putting her in a choke. It was just like, you know, anything she can do to win the fight, she'll try. She got like a split decision victory in a fight against one of my favorite fighters. What's her name? Jeon Kim. But, you know, I thought she lost that fight for sure. In this fight, there was no argument. She got the dog piss beat out of her. It was great to see. Jasmine Jazubikius landed those takedowns early and beat her up in the top position. And then second round dropped her with a beautiful right hand. And, you know, that's the first time I've ever seen Priscilla get dropped from a punch. She's usually known for her chin. Her nickname is Zombie Girl for a reason. But, yeah, that being said, Jasmine had a very dominant performance, super, you know, well-rounded fight from her, showed off great striking. Obviously the takedowns were the biggest story of the fight. She had a ton of ground control time and, you know, ended up beating her up so bad in some positions. They showed the stat count at one point, I think it was like 242 to 13 or something ridiculous. If she didn't set the record for biggest strike differential in a fight, she was damn near it. And yeah, she just dominated her every step of the way. And then third round, it looked like she was, you know, going to go to the decision, but she ended up finding that anaconda choke and forcing Priscilla to tap. Very vindicating performance from Jasmine, and I'm happy to see Priscilla Cachoeira lose. I hate her. And then in the opening fight, you had Jimmy Flick versus Malcolm Gordon. And this was a fight where Malcolm Gordon really did not live up to his potential, I felt. First round, he looked pretty solid, but then he got really tired really quick. And Flick was able to get him down and get that arm triangle choke. And Flick is one of those guys that you really don't want to fall asleep when you're fighting him, because he will take advantage of any opportunity that you give him. Very similar to, like, I don't know if you remember, like, Jason Knight or any of these guys. You know, Nate Landwehr, Darren Elkins, where it's like, all right, like, you can be winning the fight, but if you slip up, if you get tired or you slip up, he can find the finish, you know what I mean? So you got to be very careful when you fight somebody like that, and you have to be on your P's and Q's for the full 15. And Malcolm Gordon, unfortunately, was not there. He posted after the fight that he's going to retire. Kind of sucks to see, you know, but he's had some real trouble these last few years, and especially on the scale. So I think it's probably a good idea if you're, you know, starting to middle down the road, getting finished in your last three fights and missing weight in two of them, he's probably going to get cut from the UFC. And a lot of times when guys get cut from the UFC after being there so long, it's hard for them to you know, climb their way back. So I wish him all the best. Malcolm Gordon's had some good fights in the UFC, so I wish him all the best, and I hope he finds a nice life post-retirement, you know. But yeah, that being said, it's a pretty solid card overall. Nothing crazy. Not the best card of the year. I mean, there's only been two, but the other one was a lot better. You know, we did get a few new champions out of it. We got some good fights and a couple solid finishes on the prelims, but, you know, nothing crazy. That being said, the next card that we got coming down, Roman Dolidze versus Nasruddin Imavov, that has some pretty good fights on there. So I'm excited to break that down when the time comes. In the meantime, thank you very much for listening, y'all. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate you. TKO Nation, back at it again. Recapping UFC 297. Already did it. Probably going to come out with something else shortly. And we have that fight look back of Alvarez versus Gaethje in the works as well. Thank you very much, folks. Appreciate you. And have a great day. Take it easy.